Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Listen for the gospel of God. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door's already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Holy God, gracious God, good God, help us to come away from worship this morning with a greater sense of your love and care for each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a movie when I was about 18. I was on a... When I was growing up, it was about a Methodist circuit riding preacher named Robert Sheffy. It was by the Bob Jones University Unusual Films, whatever, production company. So it was a movie made by fundamentalists, and it was fairly boring. But there was this one line that stuck with me for years, and I said, it was great. He's applying for a license to preach, and while the person who is explaining why they chose to deny his license to preach, they're going over the reasons. Well, he doesn't have a seminary education. He's actually rather unusual and peculiar. He has some unusual habits. And one of them, he says, one boy reported that when you pray, you sound as if you're talking right to God. And the young preacher says, "That may be so, but tell me, to whom do you talk when you pray?" And that's the title of my sermon this morning, "To whom do you talk when you pray?" So today we're kicking off a sermon series called The Prayer. It's about, there it is, the actor who played Sheffy. "To whom do you talk when you pray?" The prayer. It's about the prayer that Jesus taught us. We're starting with our Father. Borrow my title from that line in the movie. I heard a sermon growing up about how when we pray to our Heavenly Father, what we think about when we say the words "our Father," our image of God, the person to whom we talk when we pray, is going to be shaped always, for better or for worse, by our relationship with our earthly father. When I think about my father, it makes it hard to have a close relationship with God because I don't have a really great relationship with my dad. A lot of what we do when we talk, when I talk to my dad, is we get into arguments, which kind of explains some things about my relationship with God. But there was good stuff too. I remember he used to toss me and my siblings up in the air like I now do with Ryan and Micah. Or when they'll let me. the warm Sunday mornings when he used to wake us up gently for church with his 33 vinyl records. No, it was like a gentle waking up, and I started doing that for my own kids, except without the record player part. I played some music this morning, though they were already awake. Or after church some Sundays, he would cut up some potatoes into really thin slices and deep fry them in a vat of Crisco. It was probably really terrible for you, but it tasted great. Or he'd walk us on the ceiling, or he was always hoping for the best for us, or at least his idea of what would be best for us. And he didn't give us everything we might have wanted. We were always poor, but we always had a roof over our heads, food in our bellies. The electric was rarely off, or we rarely had a power termination notice for more than about 4 hours at a time before he got it turned back on. No, it was okay. But even the stuff that I ended up in therapy over turned out to be useful as kind of a counterexample for what God isn't like. It seemed like my chores were never done, so every time I would sit down, he would get irritated that I was sitting down and my chores weren't done. But one night later, I was in a prayer group, and I realized it was okay to lay down in the presence of God. It was okay to not look busy all the time, that I could just be. But it wasn't just my experience with my dad. It was my experience with my own kids that's beginning to shape how I view God as a father. Like, I love seeing Ryan and Micah happy and not fighting with each other. I come running when they're crying. I try to make sure that they have the food that they need. And when they don't, they can usually find it. And it's fun to watch them learn and grow and turn into the people that they're becoming. They're just delightful. Like this morning, for example, and Michael's already seen this. Some of you may have seen it on Facebook. Why isn't this on? There it is. Nope, I got a different, I'm in the wrong place. Ah, I don't have the pictures. I forgot to ask you to refresh it after I made the changes. Do you want to try to pull that up for a second? I think if you just hit escape and bring it back up, we'll grab the pictures. Just freeze the screen. For the past few days, Ryan has been asking us for marshmallows because he sees them when we open the cabinet above the above the stove where we keep stuff out of his reach, in theory. We keep stuff out of his reach up there. Like, we try to keep sourdough bread or just bread out of his reach because he'll dump the whole bag in the bedroom because he wants to make sure he has access to it. But he's been asking for marshmallows because there's two bags of them up there in the cupboard there. This morning, I awoke to the sound of chairs shuffling in the kitchen, as though a four-year-old child was trying to reach some food that was intentionally placed out of his reach. When I finally got up about 15 minutes later, put together some breakfast, and was on my phone a little bit, and felt reasonably satisfied, and I thought, I should go find out what it was they got their hands on anyway. And I walked, I figured he'd share. Michael says I should rephrase that, what the one got. I figured he'd share. And I walked back to their room. On the right-hand side is their bedroom. On the left-hand side is our office. And I noticed there was a light on under the office door. I thought, that's strange. And the office door was locked. Again, strange. I thought we left that unlocked. And no, we definitely turned off the light last night. So I took off my ring and used it to unlock the door, because it's one of those doors you can open with a screwdriver. And I opened the door, and I found Ryan sitting on the floor, marshmallows in a bin and stacked up on top of that car carrier. And I don't know if you can tell, but he's got about two marshmallows, one in each side, stuffed in his mouth. I don't think it was the best lesson, but I just started laughing. I let him keep the marshmallows, and And I also noticed that the kids' bedroom door on the other side was also locked. Ryan had locked himself in the office to delay and slow me down in stopping him from eating his marshmallows and to keep Micah from getting out and having to share them. So I opened the door and let Micah out, and Ryan shared his loot with his brother. Yes, yesterday I had a picture of Ryan with the office chair in the kitchen set up so that he could eat his pretzels in luxury. But, you know, sometimes it just makes me think, maybe sometimes I do something that maybe is not the healthiest thing for me to do, but is kind of clever. God just kind of ribs an angel and goes, "Did you see that?" talking to Jack in the Tuesday morning Bible study, you're all welcome to join, 10 a.m. or here online. Jack was talking to me about a recent success that his son had had, or it was either had happened or was about to happen, and how pleased he was and proud. And I thought, I think that's how God sees us. Now, granted, my kids do irritate me sometimes, mostly when they're not sharing their toys with each other and fighting with each other. And who among us doesn't irritate God in just that way, you know? But at the end of the day, when they're finally in bed, my heart will just swell with love. And I have to believe that that's how God feels about us, about you and me. And as we learn new things about how to parent better, I think we grow to understand God better, because God has always been the best at parenting. A while after my experience with, you know, our father, I learned sometimes God in Scripture is revealed as mother. There's the image of a hen gathering in her chicks, or of God birthing the world in the Psalms, or comforting Israel as a mother comforts her child. Even though my relationship with my dad has been pretty bumpy at best for a lot of my life, I've always felt like my mom has been kind of on my side. So it was really neat for me to go to the United Church of Christ in Colorado Springs before Kristen and I landed in the Presbyterian Church. In their liturgy, they had a version of the Lord's Prayer with, "Our Father, our Mother, who art in heaven." And I think that was maybe part of what got me started sometimes praying, starting my prayers with "Our Mother" or "Mother God." Some people might say, but Jesus said we have to call God our Father, so we have to stick with that, you know? But if you saw the quote at the beginning of the service, it's like, they didn't ask Jesus what specific words to say. Jesus said, pray in this way. Pray like this. This is the general way. This is maybe a, pray like this. Here's an example. But also, when Jesus said our Father, who is he thinking about? Who's Jesus thinking about when he says our Father? Who's Jesus' father? Earthly father. We just had Christmas. Yes, Joseph. Yeah, and I think about it, and I go, maybe the difference between Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, maybe that wasn't as big of a distance as the distance between Joseph and my dad. Or, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. Because of what fatherhood and motherhood looked like in Jesus' day versus what it looks like in our day, it's just different. Just maybe the distance between what a father was for Jesus might be a bigger distance than the distance between what a father was for Jesus and what a mother was for Jesus. Like even these days, my experience of fatherhood and my motherhood might be more similar to each other than to your experience. I've talked to people for whom saying our mother would just make God really scary. And I've said over and over, God's beyond gender. But I think a lot of us, especially me, have trouble with the idea of our parent. You know, we like, Well, we could just say, make it gender neutral and say, our parent who art in heaven. But that just feels distant and weird, doesn't it? It doesn't feel as personal. So maybe our father or our mother or whatever we called our parental figure would work better. There's a story from the early church. The church father Cassian told of an old abbot. Some word came down from on high in the church that you weren't allowed to imagine God as human when you pray. You know, because that's heresy. You need to pray. God is this holy other and so far beyond us that God can't be envisioned as a person. And later during the prayers, this old abbot Serapion, he said, "Alas, wretched man that I am! They have taken away my God from me, and I have none to lay hold of. And whom to worship and address, I know not." For some of us, our father might be a warmer relationship than it was for me. For others, our mother might be a turnoff, because our own mother might not have been the kind of parent we've come to believe God is. And I think it's appropriate to kick off this series on Baptism of Christ Sunday, when Jesus gets baptized and God says, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Before we wrap up this sermon, I want to invite you to take a moment, think of one of your parents, whichever you are closer to, or both, or if you're a parent, think about the love you have or you felt for your kids. And when Jesus says to start your prayers with our Father, I think it's safe to assume that that's what he's talking about. And over the next week, I want to invite you to pray this prayer every day. If you're not already, I know probably one or two or more of you already are. Pause at the Our Father. Meditate for a minute on how that impacts the way that you understand God seeing you. For this series, we're going to close all the sermons with a different take on the Lord's Prayer. Someone else going, "This is in the way of that prayer." Some will only have a few minor tweaks. Some are going to sound really foreign. So let's close this one out with the version of the Lord's Prayer that I picked up at that United Church of Christ church in Colorado. And I did think about, what if we just did the Lord's Prayer part of our service with all of these different prayers? That was originally my plan, and then I thought better of it, and I realized, no, we need to leave that be. So let's pray this prayer together. Our Father, our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.